The following program is produced and furnished in conjunction with John Gilroy of Lectromech, which is entirely responsible for its content.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of Lectromech, providing solutions to design, certify, and maintain aircraft wire systems. Every week, John speaks with public and private sector IT experts about some of the IT trends and challenges facing agencies and industry. Now your host, John Gilroy.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. In the studio is Barton Phillips. He's vice president of a company called DocuSign. Good morning, Barton. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
Great. We're going to talk about something interesting that I think is going to impact a lot more people than realize it. We're going to talk about digital signatures and documents and federal information technology professionals and where this fits in their kind of matrix of technologies and what to learn about, what not to learn about. I've been reading about this company for a while. And I was just in San Francisco, and they're kind of a San Francisco-based company, and I'm kind of amazed at the success they've had. I mean, this is under the radar. It's like, well, really, this company's grown this fast in so many different areas? And I think it's important for my listeners who are federal information technology professionals to, you know, have their eyes open, their ears open, and learn about new things, new technologies, and any technology that can help my listeners save money or reduce cost or get home earlier, perhaps, we're going to talk about. So, Barton, tell us about your background and how you wound up with this company called DocuSign, please.
Sure. Well, I am a Washington native, which makes me a rare breed, actually, I think, these days. But grew up in the D.C. area. Dad was career federal and started my career in federal IT in 95 with a company called AMS, which I'm sure you've heard of, and moved on to a company called Siebel in 2000. Spent a few years there, ended up managing that government organization, and then on to Salesforce when it was a relatively small company that no one had ever heard of. Definitely no one in Washington.
That could be our interview today.
Yeah.
Back in 2015, no one heard of DocuSign.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I was there for about 6 years. And then I actually spent the last 2.5 years at a DC-based startup. But when I found DocuSign, I was amazed, as you said. It's a great secret in Washington. Certainly if you go out to the Bay Area, people know DocuSign. But most people, when they hear DocuSign, I tell them I work for DocuSign, they're usually, oh, I used that when I bought my house or something of that nature. But very few realize how many large organizations are now using DocuSign or now standardized on DocuSign. We have 100,000 customers.
The phrase that pays, I can say that in the radio, the phrase that pays is pervasive. I mean, yeah. If you look at just tell me about it's fifth grade, Barton, do a report on DocuSign. You could stand up there and go, hi, my name's Barton Phillips, and DocuSign has 50 million users in 188 countries. It has 100,000 customers in 43 languages. Well, why is it 10 out of 15 of the top finance companies use DocuSign? It's like you turn around and, whoa, everyone in the neighborhood's got a green car. Whoa. Every time you look at a real estate transaction, and by the way, I completed a real estate transaction just earlier this year, and they were using DocuSign to have documents go back and forth so they didn't have to go over to the loan officer's place every 2 days, you know?
Yeah, and I think the one statistic when I was talking to DocuSign that amazed me is that every day 50,000 people use DocuSign, unique users, for the first time. So we are adding 50,000 users every day, and that's pretty amazing. And if you think about some of the companies, I mean, it's the who's who of the Fortune 500 are using DocuSign, and of course there are large organizations in government as well. But you're talking about companies like SAP and American Express and Toyota and T-Mobile are standardizing on DocuSign.
You know, Barton, I'm much older than you. I went to grade school with Ben Franklin, so yeah. I've seen all kinds of things over the years. Back in the day, back in the Stone Age, what you do is I walk over to your office and say, well, Mr. Phillips, sign this document. And then we maybe go over to a copier and then copy it. And maybe if we're real fancy, we'd fax it off to somewhere. And every step along the way is a cost and an opportunity for a mistake. And so let's just see. So now we maybe have a written document and we'd scan it. And then we have to store it somewhere in a physical cabinet somewhere. And then fax it maybe someone, maybe put in the U.S. mail. What a FedEx charge is. They're pretty expensive. They lost it. We have a tracking number. And we just have a printer and printers. No. I mean, this is an expensive proposition, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. I think people don't really realize how much it costs to transact in paper. You know, they would probably say a few dollars, but it's actually well over $50 usually. And sometimes our savings for a customer is at that level. So think about it. You know, as you said, you got to create a document, then you're printing it, and then you're maybe faxing it, maybe scanning it. You know, you're sending it to someone. It's they're filling it out, signing it. Hopefully in the right place. You know, in the industry, they say not in good order is a term for documents that come back and someone has an initial somewhere.
Yeah.
You know, then you have to go through that process again. But let's say you do complete that process. Now you got a piece of paper. What are you going to do with it? How do you secure it? Where do you store it? It's very expensive. And when you look at, we actually refer to this space as, everyone talks in terms of e-signatures or digital signatures, but we refer to it as digital transaction management. It's the whole process where you start with preparing a document and then executing on it, which includes workflow and e-signature being part of that, the signing ceremony being part of that process, and then managing it, reporting off of it, compliance, you know, security, storage, all those sorts of things. So it's the whole process there of digital transaction management where we can save money. Like a company like Allergan claims they saved $57 a document. Or another good example is HP. I think they claimed $33 a document in savings.
I was at a Nationals game last night with a bunch of 28-year-old software developers. And we were having casual conversations, and I had to throw in a good, when I was your age, a few times. But let's go back. I can remember maybe 8-10 years ago. This seems funny to tell, but executives would dictate email for their secretaries to send for them. And it's like they take this horse and buggy system and force it into email. And no one even thinks that way these days. And I think the same thing's going to happen to horse and buggy and what they call wet signatures. I mean, I like pens. I like pieces of paper. And I think it's emotionally comfortable. But if it's real expensive, I can't afford to keep a horse and a buggy. And, you know, I have to keep up with the times.
Yeah, and it's not just cost. I mean, it's user experience. The generation of people, kids coming out of college, do not expect to sign documents anymore. That's just not the way business is going to be transacted over the next few years. And it's certainly already happening, but I can't imagine in 5-10 years people are going to think it's normal to sign a contract with a wet signature.
I was in San Francisco and I was considering taking the van to get to the airport, and I had to, you know, reserve a spot in the van 2 days ahead of time and put my head, outside and dance around face north, and I just hit the Uber app. Bang.
Yeah.
It's like,
it's great.
Okay, wet signatures are great. Pieces of paper are great. And manila folders are great. But you know what? We're not there, buddy.
Yeah.
And so now we have a basic idea. So we have a company called DocuSign. It's been around since 2003. Is that when it started? Something like that. And it's grown rapidly over the years. Very successful in the commercial world. So what's this mean for my listeners? What's this mean for federal information technology professionals? They're working at DOI. They're working at Commerce. And they're faced with situations and they have to reduce costs. So I want to focus maybe the next part of the conversation on them. And why should they even consider DocuSign?
Okay, great. I mean,
let's do this. Let's take a quick break. And we'll get back. We'll talk about workflow in the federal government. I mean, the federal government, they have these things called purchase orders. In the federal government, they have all kinds of documents they have to get out. I know that GSA, they have people go out with mobile devices, and they have to evaluate buildings, and there's written reports that come up. And if there's a work order involved, it has to be signed somehow. I'm sure in the military, there's signatures that are important, all kinds of different levels. And we'll take a look at maybe some use cases in the federal government and see where DocuSign may be able to help my listeners save money and time and maybe just increase the whole workflow, what they call business process management, maybe increase the whole idea of business process management for my listeners. You're listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. In the studio, we have Barton Phillips, Vice President of DocuSign. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. In the studio is Barton Phillips, Vice President of DocuSign. If you want to get more information on this company, you can go to docusign.com. Been around for about 10, 15 years. A lot of success in the commercial world. And what it allows you to do is to digitally sign. In fact, it comes with a whole different system called the Digital Transaction Management System that helps people use digital signatures instead of using ink, what they call a wet signature. You know, I was preparing for this interview, and I went to your website, and I noticed there's a free little white paper, that Forrester thing or something. Mm-hmm. Well, tell me about that report. Is that a pretty good thing to read?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, when you read the reports from Forrester or Gartner, you know, the belief is that this space, this market space is enormous. And it's maybe bigger than, you know, CRM, which is the area I came from. And we are, you know, seen by most as the clear leader in the space.
90% of the Fortune 500 use DocuSign. I mean, that's a big bragging point. Well, from the perspective of a federal information technology, maybe state information technology, give me some use cases of where they'd use your product.
Sure. And, you know, we have at the state and local level, we have a couple hundred customers, and that's where most of our public sector work got started. One of the more interesting ones, and there's actually a video of this out on YouTube, is Butte County, California. So, you know, they have the police force there is using us for search and arrest warrants. And, you know, the story they tell is that for them, time's the enemy. If they're out in the field and they need a search warrant, you think of the traditional paper process they would have to go through to get a search warrant. That gives the bad guys time.
Horse and buggy again. Yeah, from the first block, yeah.
So they tell the story of a major marijuana investigation where they were raiding facilities and, you know, they needed these search warrants quickly and they needed to beat the criminals there or the criminals inside get in before they were able to destroy evidence. And so they're docu-signing search warrants. And ultimately they said, you know, what this does is it better crime fighting, but it also better safety for their officers who still have the element of surprise and ultimately saves them money. So I really think when you look at any government organization that has a process that requires some sort of approval or document to route, there's a fit for us. And, you know, North Carolina has standardized on us. In state and local, another area that's really big is the Department of Transportation, because they do a lot of contract management, which ties right into federal. Places like GSA is a customer. You know, we have some really interesting customers in FBI, Customs, NASA, VA. And in most of those cases at the federal level, we're talking about signing and routing documents for approval. For example, NASA in their SharePoint environment is using us to route approvals. Justice is signing case files. So same with the courts. So it's, you know, all kinds of uses. And really, again, is there ever a time where you need to route something for approvals? And of course that happens in the federal government. And of course they're using paper.
I had lunch with a friend of mine who works over at the FAA. He is a pilot. That's why I wanted to work at the FAA. And so he's also a project manager. And I was just thinking about different types of documents he has encounters with, and sometimes he'll just try out an app. But this isn't an app. This is almost like a system or part of business process management, or you call it digital transaction management. So it's not just it's an app. It's part of a whole system, isn't it?
It is, absolutely. Now, I will say we do have an app. We haven't mentioned that we are totally mobile enabled. So not only is it just the ability to use our technology in a browser, but also on any device. So like for the Butte County example, or, you know, another commercial example is if you go to T-Mobile now and are signing up, that's all done in an iPad with DocuSign. So, but it is more than just a simple technology you might go get on something like the App Store. It is a entire transaction management system that is very integrated with some of the largest software players as well, like Microsoft, SAP, Salesforce. So those are all of our partners.
And that's why I brought up GSA, because they have people that go inspect buildings with mobile devices and they use Salesforce. And all of a sudden, if they have to order, I don't know, maybe order an electrician to come out and repair something or have concrete repair. I mean, using a mobile device and an app, it makes the workflow much more quicker. Think of the policeman who has to go back and get a warrant. If someone is inspecting a building, you have to have an emergency plumbing repair. It seems like it reduced the whole time for getting that repair done, wouldn't it?
Absolutely. And you kind of hit the nail on the head in that every agency, it doesn't matter what the agency is, their business is going to involve some sort of document routing, whether it's to government to citizen or whether it's within their walls. All government agencies are going to have a need for routing documents for approval and are probably doing a lot of it on paper right now.
DocuSign's been in business since 2003, over 1,000 employees all over the world, many different languages, I think 43 different languages. What a company. If you want to read more about their blogs, I think at DocuSign.com/blog. I was reading one of the blogs this morning, very, very early this morning, and I love acronyms, and I love alliteration, and they talked about, you know, the manual piece of paper signature process, and they said, manual means money. I mean, there's a refrain there.
Yeah, and I think that what's important there is we're going to save you money. And that's the nature of our business. As I mentioned before, Allergan saying $57 a document, HP saying $33 a document. You know, we're not going to charge you that much per transaction. So this is a clear ROI product that applies to pretty much all areas of business.
So it has functional growth is beyond signatures. So when the company started off in 2003, 2005, it did a lot of work with the real estate industry. In fact, does still a lot of work with the real estate industry. But now it seems to that's where they planted their foot, and now they're growing into many different areas besides there.
Yeah, it's a natural evolution that you see with software companies. We got started in a very specific area, and it was real estate for signing documents, and that's where a great number of our users know us from. But now we're in everything. You know, I've mentioned some of the examples like, you know, NASA or North Carolina or at the all the Fortune 500 companies signing up with T-Mobile. So it's much more than just a real estate e-signature app. And, it's becoming pervasive. It's a verb, really. I mean, we've become a verb. You FedEx something, you Google something, you DocuSign something.
In fact, I was on an airplane reading a book, and I was reading a book about email and marketing, and I came across the word, and the guy said, well, hey, just DocuSign it, and he was using it as a verb. And the book is called The 10-Second Sale by David Traub, but I didn't anticipate this. I was reading this for a course I'm going to give in the fall, and it's Xeroxing and Kleenexing and DocuSigning.
And it's usually because those verbs came about because people like it, you know, FedExing and Googling. Well, the one thing that amazes me about DocuSign in my few months here is that everyone that when people ask me, what do you do for a living? I tell them I work for a document, DocuSign. It's a DTM company. And they say, oh, I know DocuSign. I love DocuSign. But oftentimes they don't realize the applicability to all the areas of the business, but they know DocuSign and they love it. And so the user experience is an enormous part of what we offer. Your customers are going to be happier.
So if you're working for an agency and you have Gmail set up, it partners with Gmail. If you're using Salesforce, it works with Salesforce. It works with Microsoft. In fact, most people would say that the Microsoft SharePoint's kind of clunky, but guess what? You've got a plugin that works with even with SharePoint, don't you?
Yes. Actually, on the Microsoft side, you know, we have plugin. It's plugged into Word, Outlook, and SharePoint. So, for example, in Word, you can get to DocuSign through the toolbar. Which is I don't know that how well that
that's
is known.
Integrated, huh? That's sort of integrated with that.
Yeah, and you mentioned SharePoint, so you can automate the processes and workflows using DocuSign and SharePoint. In Outlook, you can sign documents on attachments without leaving Outlook. So we have a very tight integration with the Microsoft suite. You also mentioned Salesforce. We have a product on GSA Schedule called DocuSign for Salesforce, which is very tightly integrated. Salesforce uses DocuSign. We use, of course, DocuSign uses Salesforce. So that's a very strong integration. And then finally, another one is with SAP. You know, we recently announced that SAP sells a product called SAP Signature Management for their Ariba and SuccessFactors products. And that is powered by DocuSign.
Huh. So behind the scenes. Yeah, that's good. So if you are working for an agency and you come across a problem, and you're trying to figure out how to solve, I don't know what the problem could possibly be. It could be inspecting trucks for the Department of Transportation. I just don't know what it could possibly be. And it's part of business flow, and you're beating your head against the wall, and you're looking at Salesforce, or you're looking at Microsoft. So wait a minute, we have the beginning of the tool here. If you're using Office, then you have at least the start of using DocuSign, and maybe you can branch into and have it part of business process management just in and of itself. I mean, so I don't want to sound like a philosopher, but the tools are in front of you. You have to just open your eyes.
Yeah, at Salesforce, they use DocuSign, and we had at our Momentum conference about 2 months ago, we had Parker Harris, who's the co-founder of Salesforce. And I don't remember the exact numbers that Parker used, but it was something like for their orders, the average time went from, it was days or weeks to hours by using the DocuSign for Salesforce tool.
We have to take a quick break and come back, talk more about digital signatures. You're listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, we have Barton Phillips, Vice President of DocuSign. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, we have Barton Phillips. He's the Vice President of DocuSign. We've been talking about digital signatures and the whole idea of reducing cost and improving efficiency for federal government IT professionals. And the beginning of this interview made some silly reference about a horse and buggy and people printing out their email years ago, and people don't do that anymore. And I think the same thing's going to happen with wet signatures, because there is an inherent cost involved in having Barton sit down and sign a piece of paper and sending it off to Chicago. I mean, let's go back and reiterate that. I mean, I think people have to realize that, you know, if they have to sign off on something, it is an inherent expense just in physically getting a piece of paper in front of someone, having it sign it, and there's a whole step-by-step process involved in costing this out, isn't there?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we've talked a lot about there's applicability for this all through the government, and, you know, it's a clear ROI product that, you know, increases customer satisfaction and reduces costs. Yeah.
When I got out of college, I worked as a bartender at a place called Houlihan's Old Place. And I worked in the bar, and I got to know the restaurant manager. And what she had to do is she had to take a plate of food, and she had to cost it out. Okay, what's the parsley cost? What's the potatoes cost? What's the cheese cost? What's the meat cost? What's the salad cost? And she had to know her cost of goods sold in order to estimate what the profit was. But if you look at a document, a piece of paper document, I imagine you can apply that lesson to that piece of document and say, well, what's the cost of goods sold here? Well, what is the cost of this signature that's required in a healthcare institution or in the military or in a commercial civilian agency? And you can block it out and talk about costing for paper and storage and faxing and mailing and FedExing. And so there's a lot of costs involved. So I want to reinforce for my listeners is that the process you're doing now is a fine process. However, if you're looking at ways to cut costs for your agency, if you're looking at ways to maybe improve visibility, if you're trying to maybe decrease contract cycle times, I mean, it can be done by improving the way they handle their signatures in and of itself.
You mentioned paper and stamps and envelopes. All of those things cost money. But, you know, it's also the time. You know, shortening the time to process documents and reducing the labor associated with transaction management. And then a real big one that people don't think about is once the signature is complete, then what? Where does that document go? You mentioned storage. It's not very accessible after that. So there is a lot to it beyond just getting a signature.
And you may think this is a niche market, but LinkedIn has 2 million groups. There is a LinkedIn group called the Electronic Signature Group. And you can join it. And guess what they discuss all day? They discuss different problems and solutions and opportunities with different types of digital signatures. So, I mean, it is gotten to the point where it's at least on the radar screen for many organizations. Let me talk about a guest we had in here a couple weeks back. His name is Niall Brennan, guy from Ireland. I can remember his accent very well. And we talked about big data and health analytics and all kinds of big sounding fancy things. And I said to myself, what if old Niall winds up in the hospital and has to have a procedure on his foot? Who knows what? There has to be some kind of a signature by a physician, I would imagine, for surgery or for a test or for a process or for some kind of an X-ray or a scan. And so I would imagine that, you know, there's applications in the healthcare world for digital signatures as well.
Certainly. And, you know, I don't know too many of the specifics on healthcare providers. Certainly, if VA were signing veteran benefits request forms using...
I never thought of that. I mean, benefit request has to be signed.
But if you look at the healthcare and life sciences vertical, you know, Novartis and Abbott and Bayer and AstraZeneca, insurance, you know, we have most of the insurance companies with MetLife, Transamerica. So, yeah, there's a lot of use cases in the healthcare and life sciences space.
what I do to prepare for my interviews is I go to Google and type in electronic signatures. And if you do that, you come across a company called ARX. Tell us about ARX. I found this out in the break. I didn't know.
Well, ARX, great company. They are now DocuSign. we announced that acquisition and closed on it just a few weeks ago. And ARX was a company that was very focused on life sciences, healthcare, and public
sector. Yeah.
And so I think their revenue was roughly 70% in that space, in the healthcare, life sciences, and public sector. And many of the federal customers I've referenced today are actually on the CoSign product, which is ARX's product. And if you think about the difference, where they're really focused is the back office internal signers, whereas DocuSign is really known for kind of the front office sending out to customers, or in this case, citizens. ARX was very focused on a lot of the internal processes, and they are a digital signature company, and we are an e-signature company. Now, part of the relationship there is we did have the capability for offering digital signatures because we were partnered with ARX and liked their technology so much that we decided to acquire them. And it's, a great acquisition for us for this space.
I always read these Pew Research polls, and they had one that came out this week, and it talked about ages and number of employees and different types of generations. And right now, I think it's like by 2 percentage points, Gen X now is the largest group of people who are employed in the United States. And we have certain expectations for people in Gen X and millennials. And I think an expectation for many citizens now, maybe the majority of citizens, is this whole idea of a digital signature. Well, of course I can sign it. I mean, many agencies that interact with citizens are going to run into citizens and say, well, of course I can X, Y, or Z, or have a digital signature. And so I think you're obligated to at least open your mind up and learn about the services and the savings that a company like DocuSign can provide.
You're going to find that over time, people coming out of college are going to insist on it.
Yeah, well, there they are.
Yeah. One of our largest customer bases is the universities, and they're using electronic signatures extensively. And so they're going to expect that when they've been e-signing everything in college and then with their real estate, and it's just so easy and they love it, why are they now going to receive, whether it's the government, whether it's their financial advisor, their whoever it is, why are they now going to receive a piece of paper that they have to sign and send back, or fax? They're not going to have faxes, by the way.
By the way, I'll come up with an illustration here that may cover several different areas here. So I rented a car a couple weeks back. And they said, oh, would you like a Garmin for $11 a day? I said,
yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I have an iPhone. I'm going to rent for $11 a day for 5 days, and I have it on my phone? It's just it's a transition. And also, when I returned the car, it was all done very quickly and electronic. I imagine car rental agencies are perfect targets for digital signing, isn't it?
Absolutely perfect. You know, coming here today to your studio, I used Waze. And, you know, it's such a great user experience. And to your point, I have an old Garmin Nuvi that I've had for years. I'll never use it again, you know. And I think that's the type of thing that's coming with digital signatures. People just aren't going to do it any other way.
So figuratively speaking, if you're working for let's say pick an agency, USDA, mm-hmm. and you're using the figurative Garmin, well, guess what? You're going to have to get up to speed. I mean, whether you like it or not, one day either the citizens are going to ask for it, or your boss is going to twist your arm and they're going to say, look, we're running out of filing cabinet space. I mean, I once worked for a small company that literally ran out of filing copies. We don't have any files anymore. And so I think a digital signature can avoid some of that. Tell me about the blog that your company offers. Do you read it? What kind of information is involved in the blog from DocuSign?
Well, there's lots of good information out there at docusign.com/blog. I've had some postings out there. You can just learn about what our customers are doing. It's a great what we're doing. So definitely should check that out. There's also docusign.com/government, which is a good place to go to see what's going on with what we're offering in the government space.
So if there's snow on the ground and you're watching the Redskins on Sunday and listening to this podcast, you can go to DocuSign and go to /government to find out what's new with the federal government. And by the way, this is available on the Apple Store as a podcast. and you can listen online, and you can go to Federal News Radio and listen to several times and try to maybe figure out what kind of products, or if you're doing research on digital signatures and you find out ARX, well, so now I understand where all fits in the mix. And the big dominant player in this world is DocuSign, and there's small niche players in there as well. But really, if you want to put your toe in the bathtub and find out what this is all about, get to know DocuSign real well, find out its strengths, its weaknesses, and then you at least have a starting point. Especially if you're using Microsoft Word, you already have a DocuSign application right in front of you there for free.
Yeah, not just Word. I mean, if you're a Salesforce customer.
Salesforce, you got
SharePoint,
that in front of you. It plugs right in.
Ariba,
yeah.
SuccessFactors, all these products, and there'll be more. I mean, many of these partnerships have been announced over the last year, and they'll continue on. We're led by a very visionary guy. He's great. Keith Kroc, who was the co-founder of Ariba, and he's going to continue to establish these partnerships, and it'll be pervasive. That's why it's a verb.
Yeah. Let's take a break. We'll come back, talk more about digital signatures, and talk about some of Barton's personal technology choices. See if he does have a Garmin in the backseat of his car, in the trunk of his car, or somewhere. You're listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. In the studio, Barton Phillips, Vice President, DocuSign. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. In the studio, we have Barton Phillips, Vice President at DocuSign. We've been talking about digital signatures. We've been talking about digital signatures as a part of a process and what they call digital transaction management, where you can include it in workflow and you can improve visibility, you can reduce costs, all kinds of aspects of this. And if you scratch your head going, well, I don't know anything about this, well, most people don't, but it's incorporated in many of the products you do know about. If you know about Microsoft Word, it's incorporated that. If you know about Salesforce, it can be bolted right into Salesforce or many of the leading vendors that are out there. They're like Google. It works with Google Gmail as well. There are people that like to get information from blogs. There's a blog at DocuSign. My blog is called Tech Tuesday Blog. There are people who like to get information from Twitter. My Twitter handle is at Ray Gilray. And what's your company Twitter handle?
At DocuSign.
At DocuSign. Yeah, that's good. So you can follow them at DocuSign. You know, earlier in the show, I asked about your background. You're very humble. You didn't mention the fact that you have a master's degree from Carnegie Mellon, which I've got a lot of respect for that school. That's a great, great school. So people are listening going, this guy's been in the business for a few years, went to Carnegie Mellon, he's got to have some brain cells. I wonder if he's a card-carrying nerd or not. I mean, so what I've come up with is a scientific 10-question test that'll determine for our listeners once and for all if you're a card-carrying nerd. The first question, do you have an Instagram account?
Before I answer that, I have to add that I went to JMU, which I'm very proud of.
Oh, so, good, good.
You know, not as nerdy.
Yeah, the Carnegie Mellon, nerd. James Madison, normal. Carnegie Mellon, nerd. MIT,
well,
nerd.
JMU is changing, though, but when I went there, certainly not nerd. It was paradise. Anyway, I do not have an Instagram.
Whoa,
my son does,
okay,
of course,
okay,
but I do
not. Okay. How many cell phones have you purchased for yourself in the last year?
One.
Do you have a personal Twitter feed?
I do, at Barton Phillips.
Okay. Have you ever used either Meerkat or Periscope?
No.
What kind of smartphone do you have?
iPhone 6.
Well, that's good. And what is the most popular app on that iPhone?
Waze.
W-A-Z-E.
Yeah.
Okay, that's good to know. I like to spell these out for my listeners who are listening to this down the road sometime. So we break into your house, and how many tablet devices have we seen sprinkled around your house?
Oh, tablets.
Mm-hmm.
Three. Including the ones my kids primarily use.
Yeah.
All right, three.
Okay. And when was your most recent post in social networking?
Oh, geez, you got me. You got me. Months.
Well,
other than it was my birthday this week, so I posted on Facebook thanking everyone for all the well wishes.
But. Give me a gift. And do you have an Apple Watch on order?
I do not.
You do not? You're sinking in the nerd
sweepstakes
here.
I just bought my wife, though, the Fitbit Surge, I'm trying to decide on the iWatch. I just don't know.
And the last book you read, was it electronic or paper?
It is paper. It is currently,
you know what?
Paper.
Carnegie Mellon gives you nerd points, but I think that's the only nerd points you got in your background there. You are almost normal.
This
is not good.
I know, you know.
This is not good.
Yeah. Not nerdy enough, I guess.
You got to work it. You got to get that Periscope working. I don't even know why someone would want to have short videos that fade away, but it's very, very popular, and a lot of the nerds I know are, in fact, the software developer I was talking with last night, that was one of the many topics of conversation, was this new technology that's out there, and short videos, and baseball games, and all kinds of interesting things. Let's talk about digital signatures, and we started the show with these silly analogies about horse and carriage, and print out my email, Sally, so I can read it, mm-hmm. and print out that blog so I can read it on the plane. So where's it heading? Are you optimistic that the federal government's going to make this change? Are they going to consider it? Or is it just going to be blocked? Is it going to be, well, we've always done it this way, Barton, and we're happy?
Absolutely, they're going to make the change. Look, the federal government gets beat up for being behind the times. But the reality is the federal government does lag a little bit in adoption. When you look at like cloud-based products, I was at Salesforce in 2007. I started there doing commercial work and then eventually was doing government, started up the government organization. It took it over when it was very small. And, people said, oh, there's no way that the federal government is ever going to buy cloud computing. No way. But of course they are. They are. There's a great deal of cloud computing in federal government. And I think the same thing is true of us. We're a traditional cloud SaaS product. And the federal government will eventually move towards this like commercial is. Now, we mentioned the big logos that are using us. There's no logical reason why companies like American Express and T-Mobile and all the other ones would be using us and the government wouldn't. It's just not logical. The government will head there. They'll head to cost efficiencies, better user experience for all the reasons that they should.
8 years ago when I started interviewing people on Federal News Radio, I would have bet my bottom dollar that there's no agency would ever use Gmail. I would say, Gmail, sure. What kind of drugs are you taking? That is impossible. They got those, what we call now server huggers, and they're not, but they have. And it took a transition, but I think that now that Gmail's sitting on the desk of federal government folks, it's like, we have it here, and what other options and choices do we have? And there's easy options like, if you're listening to the show and you're using Gmail for your email and you're looking at problems you have, maybe it's signing truck repair orders, maybe it's signing healthcare, maybe it's signing car rentals, or purchase orders or something, you have to at least consider different options. And this is the place to start.
It is the place to start. And, it's just a natural progression. When I was at Siebel in the 90s, there were government people trying to build CRM systems. And, it was nonsense, right? And eventually the government moved to the COTS-based client server CRM systems. And as I mentioned with Salesforce, there were people who said, no, we're never gonna move our CRM into the cloud. And I'm sure there are people who say, oh, the government's never gonna sign something digitally or electronically. I don't know why they would say that, because of course they're going to. The government will move to this when it makes sense. And they, it's sort of on us to help educate them as to why this results in, there's a clear ROI, why it has cost savings, why it is a better user experience for citizens or internal users. And then finally, why it is a more secure way to transact documents.
Yeah, so they're going to figure it out. And the justification for this comes back years ago with the eSign Act. So this is early 2000s. And so back when I was in grade school, back in 2000, I think the federal government decided, we can start using digital signatures. And right about this time is when DocuSign started gaining momentum and it's growing bigger and bigger. And now we have many, many organizations that are using it for all kinds of different applications. So it's a service. So you'd sign up for a service, or how does the billing work for this? If an agency is interested, how would they pay? Would they put it in their server down the hall, cloud-based, monthly subscription? How does it work?
So it is a traditional SaaS business. So it is a subscription, and you pay for it in a subscription model, usually an annual subscription. There's multi-year as well. So just like most cloud companies, we are a subscription-based SaaS approach. You mentioned going back, the eSign Act. One thing that people often ask is, is it legal? And that act does ensure the validity and legal effect of contracts entered into and electronically. So there is no question out there about that. And we actually warrant that with our service, that it is going to be a valid signature if it's electronic.
Yeah, without the eSign Act, there'd be no DocuSign or any other way to save money with this at all.
Or a lot of legislation around it, maybe, I don't know.
What if you are working for an agency with three letters that has to have a local server? Can you work with them, or how does that work out?
Absolutely, and that was part of the ARX acquisition. So ARX was traditionally an on-premise product.
Aha.
And it really is designed for those types of use cases.
Well, now I understand why you guys bought it, because almost like, you know, we need a starting pitcher and you trade for a starting pitcher. And so you guys needed a closer, it looked like, and you brought in ARX for healthcare and for being an on-premises solution. So if you are working for the intelligence community, and I'm sure they're, well, and they're considering digital signatures, this is one approach that I kind of thought you'd be off the checklist off of the group of companies look for in this situation.
And that is not the case, you know, and I think when you look at like companies like FBI are using the ARX product, it's evidence of that. And, you know, there will be a long-term roadmap for this acquisition, but today there is an offering for those agencies to come to us and to have a appliance-based approach to digital signatures that solves that problem.
You know, I should have put this at the start of the broadcast. Most people listen to this and they listen for 12, 15 minutes and they fade away. That's where I repeated some of the points for the people listening to the end. But I should have put this in the beginning because I was thinking that, well, geez, there's big segments of the audience here that can't use this because they're behind this big wall. But now the product can be used. So you have the flexibility, you have the business process management that's associated with your company, and security in the premises servers for the IC world. Well, that's good to know. We'll have to end this interview here and maybe come back in a couple of years and see what winds up, what happens, and maybe our listeners can learn about your company and start using electronic signatures instead of buying file cabinets. There was a lesson I learned many years ago. You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'd like to thank my guest, Barton Phillips, Vice President of DocuSign.
You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of Lectromech, providing solutions to design, certify, and maintain aircraft wire systems. If you miss any part of this program, you can hear the entire show on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Federal Tech Talk, Tuesday mornings at 9, only on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM.